Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Tosh.
2017 is here.
Yeah. My name is Keith Schertz. I'm with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year and undefeated cook-off, chili cook-off champion, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, the basketball team. First of all, let's talk about, I want to tell you something. So I went down to Las Vegas. I had a game plan. I was ready to go down there, and I was there for New Year's Eve, and when I was down there, Tosh, I had this game plan. I was gonna bet against Ronda Rousey, and I felt like that was gonna be easy money for me.
Okay.
But I didn't get to the sports book in time, so I missed out on that one. I was ready to lay the 14 points on Alabama for the spread, but we waited for breakfast too long in the restaurant before I could get there in time. So I would have won on that one. So I had the itch, Tosh. I wanted to just get a bet in, you know. So I decided to put...
Cougars national champions.
I decided to put $20 on the BYU Cougars over Loyola Marymount by a spread of 5.5. BYU won by 5. And I knew it, too. I even looked at my wife when we were down there. I said, I'm going to lose this one. Because I'm doing it just...
Don't they always say, you shouldn't bet where you're a fan?
Well, there's that, yes.
I don't bet at all. I know if there was one thing I could become addicted to, it would be sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
So I stay very wide of sports betting, but because I know I would have issues.
But the roulette wheel, you're all over.
I have no issues there. I could quit anytime I want. I just choose not to. No, I don't gamble.
Listen, I know we're not supposed to gamble. I'm there, you know, it's $20.
No, it's fine. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. No, I was just pointing out that I thought that even established gamblers say don't gamble on the team that you're emotionally tied to.
But I thought, you know, we had just smashed Santa Clara by 30. Maybe they were hot now and things were starting to come together. We were playing more TJ Haas at the point. If you didn't read that article, I wrote a huge article about TJ Haas should be the starting point guard for BYU.
And we've gone on a win streak since then. You think there's any accident to that?
No, it has nothing to do. But I do think that the more that they play TJ Haas at point, the better. But anyway, and then, in fact, and data, lots of data indicates that that's also the case. Anyway, 5.5, Tosh. They went down 18, and I thought, well, this is a disaster. I just thought, I've done this because I put this bet in. They come back, they win 5 points, so I lose. Anyway, just thought I would share that because, you know, I got cheated out of $20.
Just double down this week.
Gosh. Just take it to the bank. St. Mary's. Anyway, we got St. Mary's this week. But, Tosh, let's talk a little bit just about the state of the team and where they're at right now. You said that we should never play zone defense. We played quite a bit of zone defense in that comeback in the second half against Loyola Marymount. But you know what? I'm on your side. They did it because they were getting annihilated in the first half. And it worked, and it helped with the comeback. But I think it's not – that 1-3-1 zone is all right, but – it is not where their strength is. Their strength is in man-to-man.
Totally. And one of my main things that I think has got us back on the winning ways is that our guards specifically have seemed to really up their intensity defensively, specifically Emery. You know, the game, not the last game, but the previous.
Yeah, against Jared Brownridge. He's a great scorer. Yeah,
he 22 shut down a game. Brownridge. Yeah. Like, Emery did nothing offensively that game, but I still think he was in contention for player of the game in my mind, because his defense, it was like his older brother had somehow put on his jersey and was just locking guys down out there.
And we remember Jackson the senior. We don't remember Jackson the sophomore. And, you know,
that's why he was on the court.
That's right. But I think the defense is a work in progress with Nick, but the signs are there. That he's going to be a lockdown guy, and we haven't had a lockdown guy really since him or maybe Charles Buo. So, yeah, I'm with you. And TJ Haas looks a little bit more. Who's a better defender at this point? I'm saying right now. Is Tyler Haas a better defender or TJ?
TJ.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't understand why Tyler was not a better defender. Like, it's just his lateral movement, or if we're going to go with technical terms there that sound smart and no one knows. But I really think we know what lateral movement means. But I think that TJ Haas is just quicker and thus is able to stay in front of his man better than his brother.
Well, he doesn't shoot like his brother, though, at least at this point of his career.
You know what's crazy, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
He's shooting over 40% from threes.
Yeah.
And that I fall into the category that I feel like he has not totally lived up to the hype. And then I have to do a reality check. The dude's a freshman.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's shooting over 40% from three and shooting a lot of threes his freshman year.
Well, like, here's a couple things that I want to bring to light. So we have this. So based on points per possession, okay, Nick Emery in catch-and-shoot scenarios when he's shooting the basketball in half court and in catch-and-shoot, primarily, he's in the 75th percentile, essentially, in the country. Basically, you know, three out of four players, like, he's better than three out of four.
Yeah.
Okay, there might be one that is shooting a little better than him on the catch and shoot. And yet we all sit there and we go, like, he's better than 75% of all the other guys that are shooting the basketball out there. And yet we're like, oh, he's having a down year.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just not himself. And you're like, whoa, like, that's an amazing standard we have for Nick Emery. Same sort of deal goes for TJ Haas. He's in that range. He's right now he's at 68th percentile. So, like, I mean, he's still better than 7 and 10 players. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, what we expect of these guys is kind of fascinating. And of course, what Eric Mika has been doing is absolutely awesome. He's been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And we got
and Yoli.
Yeah, we got. That's the thing that's crazy. I feel like all of us BYU basketball fans still have some. There's a little bit of tension on how this season's gone so far, but we have had some players emerge that makes me at least optimistic about what's going to happen, but for sure intrigued. I will watch all the conference games, because this is a fun, intriguing team, although we do have some mind-blowing bad losses.
And the conference, though, the conference is better now, Tosh. It seems like everybody is a little bit better. Like, the low end of the conference isn't as bad as it used to be.
And San Fran, you know, might be legit.
San Francisco might be a good team, yeah. So it'll be interesting, you know, to kind of take a look at some of this. But, you know, Tosh, I just wrote an article. It's out on vanquishthefoe.com. And it's a preview of the St. Mary's game. I won't get into everything that I talked to on that, but Tosh, you know, the numbers indicate, and I know that BYU has these numbers, but the numbers indicate that BYU is playing the wrong style of basketball. I made the analogy. I feel like Dave Rose wants to run the floor. He wants to be fast and furious and flashy and be like the Golden State Warriors. And really, you know, bombs away and all that. I've heard him complain in post-game interviews twice now when he's had a little more time with Greg Rubel and Mark Durant that they're not getting up enough three-pointers. And they are. They're actually a little bit down on their three-point takes this year, but compared to other years. But he wants to play them like they're the Golden State Warriors, but they're not, Tosh. They're another classic style of NBA team. You know who they are?
Who?
They're the Grindhouse Memphis Grizzlies.
We have two good big men.
Two good big men. Decent defensive intensity on the outside, and then you can make a couple shots on the outside too, here and there. They've struggled with their outside shot, Memphis, but really, that is what they do. This is what they're good at. And let's talk. We talked about Loyola Marymount, but when they went out and they tried to run and gun with Loyola Marymount,
we were getting outrun and outgunned.
We got outrun and outgunned. In the second half, despite being down by a lot, they decided to get more physical, they got chippier, and they slowed it down.
Yeah.
And they slowly ate away at the other team. The foul attrition began, Tosh. Five fouls on the best player for Loyola Marymount, their big center, the transfer from Hawaii. Then they had three other of their starters picked up four fouls. And when you have four fouls, you have to play defense differently. BYU went to the free throw line 15 times in the second half. Loyola Marymount didn't make a single trip to the stripe in the second half.
It's wild.
This is what they are, Tosh. They are a grindhouse basketball team. They are better when they're slower. The numbers indicate that it is. This is the way it is. I promise you, this is right. That they're better at half-court offense. They actually are scoring more points on half-court offense possession than they are in transition, which is wild, because if you're in transition and running the floor, that means you should have an easy look at the basket. But we're actually doing worse at converting those looks into points than we are in half-court. The other thing is, and the foul attrition thing's real, we're getting fouled, okay, on almost one out of every five, almost 20% of our possessions, almost 20% of our possessions in half court, we're getting fouled. Like,
it's wild.
That's an unbelievable number, and we're a good free throw shooting team.
Drawing fouls at an incredible clip.
So we're a great free throw shooting, well, not great, but we're a good free throw shooting team. And then beyond that, if you rack up fouls on the other team, there's more minutes going to the bench players. In terms of transition offense, Tosh, only one team in the West Coast Conference is worse than BYU. It's Pepperdine. So, and we're the third, by the way, we're also third in the country in pace of play. So we are actually, we're the 298th best team at transition offense. There's 351 teams.
That's terrible.
So we're really bad at transition offense, like really bad, and yet we are playing fast. We are playing into the hands of our opponents. Again, except for Pepperdine, every West Coast Conference team is poised to expose BYU if BYU chooses to run. On the flip side, if we go half court, there are only two teams that are equipped to handle us in half court and be better than us. There's two teams that are better than us in half court offense. Care to guess?
The two ranked teams.
The two ranked teams. Gonzaga and St. Mary's. And so, because of that, though, when you play a game against Loyola Marymount, or when we play Pacific, or when we play these other teams in conference, you know how we have these random, like, why the heck did we lose? You know, we lose five games every year in the West Coast Conference. Five is typically the number. And that always puts us right on the bubble. And our strength of schedule, by the way, this year is not great. So I don't think you can lose five and be on the bubble this time. No. And so they've got to do better than that. And so you can't. And so that win against Loyola Marymount was huge. But Dave Rose, and I feel this strongly, and I've always been Mr. Team Rose. I love Dave Rose. But he's got the personnel and the numbers back it up. He's got the information. Tosh, he's got to slow down. They've got to slow down. Nick Emery's playing better in half court than he is in transition. So's TJ Haas. Stephen Bayo plays better in half court than he does in transition. The one player that benefits from transition, Davin Quinn.
That's probably why we're doing it.
So do we want to put everything around Davin Quinn? Like, no. Like, you know, your star players, all of them, Mika, Yoli, all of them are better in half court. The numbers show that that's the case.
That's a great point.
We're still the third fastest team. They've got to slow down.
Because we can, in the half court, we can out-rebound guys. We can draw fouls. We play for the first time in the modern BYU fan era. We are an inside-out offensive team when we're on our game. So I agree with you.
Adam, you're the first time?
In a while.
All right.
When was the last? I mean,
Hartsock and Davies were. We worked through them.
That's true.
It didn't feel like it because Carlino would just jack.
Totally. And Hartstock even, he was like a 15, 16 footer.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was like still a post player.
Hartsock, man, I will never forget. Like, we were all so jived. We were so excited about Brandon Davies, and this was going to be Brandon's team. And then Noah Hartsock came in as a senior. He's like, nope.
He was like, incredible. He's like,
I'm about to put in one of the best seasons by a post player.
We beat Gonzaga at home, and Hartsock like carried us the whole game.
He's just unbelievable. But anyway, so Tosh, that's the thing. Now, does Dave Rose, and I'm not saying they should completely, like, you can't just abandon who you are, but if you can settle it down a little bit, you know, maybe we shouldn't be the third fastest pace of play team, because beyond that, other teams are better than us at transition. We're bad at we're good at defense when it's in half court scenarios. We're really bad at defense when it's in transition. Like everything, defense, offense, individual players, like everything indicates that BYU is better at half court than they are in transition. And yet we're the third fastest pace of play team
in America. You need to tweet that to Dave Rose before Thursday's game.
So I wrote. So again, I wrote about all this, and yeah. And I think they might read us a little bit. And,
well, they buy the analytics. Don't they pay for?
Yeah, they have the same services that I have. Yeah. So and they even have more.
I think two things on this topic could happen. I am still actually very high on this BYU basketball.
So am I. I just think that they're not playing the right way.
I think that the reason I'm high is because I think we have better players than almost every team we play against. And I agree with you that I think we could play a better brand of basketball. I think that two things could happen. BYU does start to play to their strengths more, which I think is more of a half court.
And with TJ at point instead of the three.
And I also think that our players are bound to get a little bit better at transition when we have to be in transition. Like, it seems fluky to me that we're as bad in transition as those numbers show. But we've played 15 games, so that's not a fluke.
Yeah, it seems like there's enough. Yeah, we do transition more than most teams. Like, I mean, 20% of the time we're in transition. Like, we're out and running, you know, a lot. But, you know, I have to say that it is fascinating. But against St. Mary's, and this is the thing, when we have beat St. Mary's, we have been a grindhouse team. Like, even in the past. Like, think about the last time we won there. Like, when we won in Moraga, it was a 60-57 game.
Yeah.
Mika gave the choke sign after the game. Tyler Haas was out of his mind. He scored 33. He scored 33 in that game. Sometimes we forget how amazing Tyler Haas was. We scored 60 points. Tyler Haas scored 33.
That's wild. Game.
Like, the point is just to say, like, the chippier it gets, the way St. Mary's has been successful against us is they have Brad Waldo out there, and he's a nuisance out there, and he's tough, and he's Jacques Landell, who's on the team for them now, is perfect for that sort of game.
But I feel like we match up well, and
Mika needs to be just as nasty and all those things. The real concern for me, and the one place where we're better than St. Mary's by the analytics, Tosh, is we're a better defensive team in half court offense.
Interesting.
So if we're going to win, like, we have to be awesome in half-court half-court offense. I misspoke. Half-court defense. Half-court defense. The strength for BYU is their half-court defense.
And to me,
Wait a second. When was the last time we said that?
Because we have two shot-blocking, rim-protecting big men. Like,
and then guys that are quick enough to challenge a three-point shot.
Yeah.
You know, against St. Mary's, you know, St. Mary's is the 19th ranked team in the country. Okay, they are the fourth best transition offense in America, the eighth best half court offense in America. So that defense is going to have to be great. And here's why St. Mary's is so tough, Tosh. It's not one player. You can't say we're going to really stop Jacques Landell tonight. We're going to really narrow in on Emmett Nahr. Okay, we're going to take away Calvin Hermanson or Joe Rahan. Okay, it's not that you're going to take those guys away. It's the system. It's Randy Bennett. All of them do what they're supposed to do. When they're open, they score.
Because none of their guys scare me, but they play great system basketball.
That's it. And so the point is everybody, you can't hide a defender against St. Mary's, because they'll expose it. If you have poor technique, if you don't communicate well with your teammate, they're going to score. So how do you throw them off of that? Get them emotional.
Yeah.
Get chippy.
Yeah.
Make it physical.
Do the choke sound.
Shake them. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm being serious. They need to be like the Grizzlies. They need to make it absolutely miserable to play basketball.
Yeah.
This isn't fun. And they need to grind away at them.
That just goes against everything that Rose is, his basketball coaching DNA, though.
Well, so then the other option is we can run and gun, but we better be lava hot.
Yeah.
But we've had that once this year.
We can play I think we can find a fun style of basketball that is still like a la the when Dwight Howard was on the Magic, you know, and they had an inside presence, but they shot a heck of a lot of threes. It was either a Dwight dunk or a three. And I think we could play a similar style of basketball, and then we have the tools to do something similar.
Yeah. I think there's – this is the point, though, is I think they're still finding their way. And I think that Dave Rose is slowly working his way towards this kind of new idea.
So
– but, you know Mika in his two games, he did the choke sign in Moraga. And a lot of people have forgotten about this, but in the game at home, he made one of the Gales players. It was Garrett Jackson. He came in off the bench. And within 2 minutes, Garrett Jackson threw a forearm at Eric Mika's head after the whistle.
Jeez.
He got ejected. The point is in Mika, both Mika's performances against St. Mary's, you know, he's been at the center of kind of the most chippy, crazy thing that's happened. And I think he's got to lead the way on that too.
He's that type of player that can play physical and get in teams' heads. Like, he plays with such intensity. Here, I've been looking forward to this week for a while.
Composure, you got to take them out of their composure. That's the whole thing.
You've thought I'm a crazy man all year. That I am still thinking that we sweep the Gales. I think that our athletes, I think that we match up well against them, and that we are just that they're.
What's the best argument for it? Hot shooting.
For us winning?
Yeah.
I think that we know Bennett's style of basketball.
We do.
His style works, but generally style basketball works when you're playing a team that hasn't been coaching against it for years. Their style's not going to surprise us. I also think it's the first ranked team we've played all year.
Mm-hmm.
This game's at home. And I still go back to our players are better than their players. And I just think that talent wins out on Thursday.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The mix of
they've only lost once though, so
the mix of the players, Tosh. You gotta respect that their mix is nice.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We've talked all year about how much they've struggled to kinda BYU has struggled to find their footing. They still are. Like I mean the whole thing I just talked about is we're not playing the way that's best equipped for us to win basketball. Like we haven't figured out how we win basketball games really slickly yet.
And they have.
Like, they have. No, they've known that for a long time.
They're their talent to the absolute max.
Absolutely. And so that's the thing, is they're really well-oiled, and we're still, you know, a thing of potential. I have a hard time saying that we're going to beat that, especially when they're so efficient offensively. They're decent defensively. And then you add in the road. You know, I mentioned that fouls can be a real advantage for BYU. That's especially the case with St. Mary's. They don't draw many fouls. Fouls could be a huge part of this game if BYU makes it a huge part of this game. The problem is you're in Moraga. And what are the chances the whistles are going to go to the advantage of the road team there?
Not well.
I mean, it happened against Loyola Marymount.
A lot of these gyms, we actually...
It becomes a home game,
yeah. You know?
I think, though, that they're 19th and they got a good crowd there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I heard we had 80% attendance at Loyola.
It sounded that way.
Yeah, that's what... From fans that were there said it was like 80% BYU fans.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, that's the way it's... I mean, we're in the West. California... Doesn't California have more LDS people than Utah?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, there's more of us down there.
And so we're talking St. Mary's a ton, but let's... We could lose to Pacific. This is the type of game.
Well, so this is the crazy thing. You think that
we could beat we're sweeping
the Gales.
This is what happens.
But we can
to
lose
BYU.
To Pacific.
That's what happens.
Yeah,
to
it
us.
Is.
Like we play great in these big games in conference, and then we get surprised by the Pacifics, and so it's a. I like our conference. I like weeks like this. We're playing a ranked team, a team that we have some bad blood with. This should be a fun week.
Pacific's got the at San Diego at BYU. So they are going to be in San Diego two nights before they got to play here. We're going to be in Moraga and then going to be here. So the travel is about the same. But friendly confines helps BYU. What, Pacific 6-9 on the year?
Yeah.
They lost to Portland. They lost to Gonzaga. Oh, that's a bad one. But yeah, I mean, you know, Pacific, they've got a new coach, right? Damon Stoudemire is there now. And
Damon Stoudemire?
Yeah, he's their
coach. How did I not know that?
Yeah, he's the head coach of Pacific.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So if you want to see Damon.
That's why we might lose.
Yeah, one of the Jailblazers.
Yeah.
I think, right? Wasn't he a Jailblazer?
Yeah, he played for the.
Yeah. He's on the Trailblazers, but
I don't know if they were for sure that era or not, okay. But he's famous as Trailblazer.
Anyway, so yeah, but the point is you're right. So what do you think is going to be key for them? I mean, because we blew it. We lost a home game to Pacific last year. We were so flat in that game. How do you, I mean, why does this happen to BYU? Why does this happen to Dave Rose's teams? We used to never lose games that we weren't supposed to lose. Like when we were in the Mountain West Conference and it was, you know, Keena Young and.
I don't know. Our style of basketball has totally changed from then, though. Like, I feel like then we played really good defense.
Yeah, we did.
And last 5 years or so, it seems like.
Just we could have offense be so
we
good.
We just got to outscore them.
Yeah.
That's why we lose to bad teams.
Sometimes you don't shoot good.
Players that all of a sudden will have a hot night and we lose, you know. But I think this team is different in that regard, except the UVU game absolutely went that way. But that's
the only... I mean, we still scored 100 points in that night.
Yeah, but we gave up 114.
No, I know, right. But you get what I'm saying. It's just like, it wasn't like the offense wasn't working that night.
No, yeah, it was the
defense. Like most nights when BYU blows it, it's because the offense isn't hitting the shots that they normally would. Like we're going to go out and shoot like 30% or less from three.
Yeah.
Do you think we can survive that a little better now?
I do. I think that we have players that are more prone to play defense. I think these guys that we have now, none of them think they're above. I can't think of a guy on this squad that thinks he's above playing defense. Where we've had those
players.
We've had those players in the past. You know, which is pretty rare in college basketball. You see that in the pros, but in college, I guess that sometimes the big elite schools you see that sometimes. Players that act like, but at BYU we've had that lately, and I don't feel like we have that this year. So that's a good sign, I think, for the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you got to play both ends of the floor in order to be really successful. So,
and it has been confirmed Damon Stoudemire was a member of the Jailblazers, and he thinks that Portland treated them unfairly. So he might be trying to take that out on BYU.
He didn't take it out on the Pilots. 2 games late on that. But no, you know, I'm with you. Like, and the thing that I said that we have to do to St. Mary's, like, isn't that what Pacific is thinking about what they have to do to us? Like, get physical and grind it out.
Yeah, win and ugly. Well, I actually don't think so. I think they're thinking they got to just shoot. They got to make their open threes. Pass the ball around, make open threes. If I was coaching against BYU, that would be my game plan is
pass.
You're going to BYU. Historically, will give you an open three if you work that ball around enough.
Yeah. You just have to be able to pass.
Yeah.
Tosh, I want to be an old man for a second. Can I complain about something?
Go for it.
You and I, we went to a game together over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tosh. And when we went, I complained about the students... Do you remember this?
I do, yes. It was old manish.
It was very old manish.
I agree with you, though. But
back in the day, so like as early as like, 5 years ago? Like before that silly video that the BYU marketing put out trying to teach us how to be fans?
Which I think The Rock has done a lot of good, but you're going to bring up something that I think The Rock has kind of overgone.
Well, there's no ownership anymore. Like all these people are being coached so much that there's no ownership or like actual, like it doesn't feel like there's real commitment in it. Does that make sense?
I don't know if I see that, but I see the other point you're going to make. I think they seem committed.
Really? Like they're not bringing their own signs? Nobody brings their own signs
anymore.
That's
fair. They're just relying upon the heads
like,
that are
bring
provided.
Me, yeah, it's silly. Anyway, but you know the chant, the B on one side, Why? 90 degrees.
You.
You. Cougars.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that chant. We've been doing it for a long, 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 for my entire life. I'm sure it's been around for 50 years.
Okay.
And like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, at some point, the students thought it necessary to start pointing. To tell everybody, like, we're going to say B, and now we're going to point at you because you're supposed to say Y, and now we're going to point at you and say you, and then now you guys say Cougars. Like, everyone always did it before. We didn't need any coaching for it. And I feel like it's less, like, I feel like we're just being hounded instead of, like, you know, enjoying, like, a moment as an entire crowd where we all psychically understand each other.
You should have seen Keith at the game just frothing at the mouth, double birds to the student section. Don't tell me when to say why.
I just have to say, yeah, don't tell me this.
I do agree with you. It seems like it's kind
They're too coached, man.
It seems like a cheer. I don't want them to be our cheerleading squad.
No.
They can do their cheers, but they don't need to lead the grandstand's cheers.
There's a lot of coaching that happens with the student sections now. Here's the other one, Tosh, and I think you'll agree with me on this. The Marriott Center renovations have been beautiful. The Jumbotron's amazing, and the chairs are amazing, right?
Yes.
They're comfortable. It's nice. It's a good experience going. I have to say, that building is not what it used to be.
Another old man comment. I don't disagree with you. When the students were all on one side on bleachers, it was more ruckus. It was more...
People would stand, and then it would be on the side, and like... Although, and it was loud on both ends of the floor.
I don't know. There's pros and cons. I feel like the new stadium has such a legitimate big-time program to it feel, but I like that.
Sure.
It's going to be...
But I don't think it'll ever be the same in terms of loudness. I mean,
I don't know. When we play like Utah or Gonzaga, but like when it's sold out, that place still gets wild and
sure, warm. It's a good building. I'm not saying it's not a good building. I'm just saying I feel like it used to be more influential. We used to roll off like 114 wins in a row. You know, we had when I was a student, we had a period where we had won, like we had the longest winning streak at home. You know, that happened twice when I was a student, where we had the nation's longest home court winning streak. And it's like, that hasn't happened in a while, Tosh. We're blowing games to UVU at home.
We're not going to get over that.
That doesn't happen in 2000.
This year's team needs to win like a tournament game in order for us to forget about how horrific it was that we lost to UVU. Okay, this show's kind of gone weird, but I'm going to go one step weirder.
I'm sorry to make it weird.
The things that work, just like, I love The Rock, but I, just like we have not forgiven this year's team for losing to UVU, I have not forgiven The Rock for their audacity to try to get the whole stadium to sing Don't Stop Believing. And they had a video.
I remember this.
And it was the most awkward moment of my entire BYU fandom.
Yeah.
It didn't last long, I'm glad. But I love The Rock, but I still sometimes remember that and
think. That was bad.
Things can go haywire if we let The Rock get out of hand.
Can I throw one more out there for you? Since we're blasting...
blasting our own fan base.
Well, let's just do one more. Like, I know this is going to be more a marketing thing. James the Mormon releases a song called Telling You Why.
Yep.
He has NBA players in it, all the BYU legends in it, and it's a nice beat even.
I love the song.
It's not that bad.
I'm a James the Mormon fan, so keep going.
People were hyped. The video just came out. It was like the biggest thing. And it came out just before the first BYU football game. It's filmed in the stadium. The James the Mormon is sitting on the goalposts in the video. They're in the tunnel. They come out on the field. Their first time running on the field and stuff. And they're busy playing like, I don't know, like AC/DC or Thunderstruck or something. God bless AC/DC. Great song. You had a rap song that was current about that wasn't even cheesy. Wasn't corny.
At all.
And it was about your university. Telling you why. Why would you not play that song?
I think that they play it every basketball game now. It's become the new song that the Cougarettes dance. They used to always dance to "What's Up, What's Up." Like, as soon as they walked out, you knew they were going to start playing "What's Up, What's Up." Now, I'm telling you, Y has at least replaced "What's Up, What's
You're
Up."
You're right. You're right.
So we're moving in the right direction, slowly but surely.
I remember, and the choreography for "What's Up, What's Up" was always this.
Yeah, a lot of hair flips
what's
too.
"What's Up, What's Up?" Every time. Anyway. All right, that is it for this week's Cougar Cast. I don't think the Cougars, I think they're going to go 1-1 this week. Tosh does too, but he thinks they're beating St. Mary's and losing to Pacific.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yep.
You really think that?
I'm more confident that they'll beat St. Mary's. They're going to beat St. Mary's. Like,
you're more confident about that than beating Pacific at home.
We're going to be up for this game. We don't have a premier win. This team knows it, that we know how to play against St. Mary's. We've beaten them when they've been the better team many times, and it's going to happen again Thursday.
All right. I hope you're right. I got us 1-1 with a win over Pacific. I think we'll struggle in Moraga. Might be a close game, though. That's it for this week's CougarCast. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a review on iTunes if you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!